ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय महाविष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसादगुरुदेवे श्रीमति भक्तिवरानन्द स्वामी नामने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचरणे निर्विशेषन्यवाणी पाश्चात्यचरणे श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नंद श्री जगदाथ शिवश्री गौरवृंद हरे कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे प्रे फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम चैप्टर 31 वर्स 9 नारद उवाच
Supreme Controller.
Translation of the great sage Narada said, when a living entity is born, to engage in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of God, or who is the Supreme Controller. His birth, all of his food activities, his lifespan, his mind, and his words are all actually perfect. remember from this verse, the word Narnam is very important. There are many other births besides human births, but Narad Muni is herein especially speaking of human births among human beings. There are different types of men of these. Those who advance the spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness called Aryans. Among Aryans, one who engages in devotion or service of the Lord is the most successful in life. The word Narnam indicates that lower animals are not expected to engage in devotional service of the Lord. But in perfect human society, everyone should engage in devotional service of the Lord. It does not matter whether one is born poor or rich, black or white. There are maybe so many material distinctions for one who takes birth in human society, but everyone should engage in the Lord's devotional service. At the present moment, civilized nations have given up God consciousness for economic development. They're actually no longer interested in advancing in God consciousness. Formerly, the forefathers were engaged in executing religious principles, whether one is Hindu, Muslim, Buddhist, Jewish, or whatever. Everyone has some religious institution. Real religion, however, means becoming God conscious. It's very clearly mentioned here in that birth is successful if an interest in Krishna consciousness is taken. Activity is successful if it results in serving the Lord. Philosophical speculation or mental speculation is successful when engaged in understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The senses are worth possessing when engaged in the service of the Lord. Actually, devotional service means engaging the senses in the service of the Lord. At the present moment, our senses are not purified, and therefore our senses are engaged in the service of society, friendship, love, politics, sociology, and so on. However, when the senses are engaged in the service of the Lord, one attains bhakti or devotional service. In the next verse, these matters will be more clearly explained. When one, a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, saw the Lord, he said that all his desires were fulfilled. He said, "Today everything is auspicious. Today my birth and neighborhood are completely glorified. Today my senses from my eyes down to my toes are fortunate. Today my life is successful because I have been able to see the Lord's feet that are worshipped by the God's salvation." Translation: the great sage Narada said, "When a living entity is born to engage in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the supreme control, his birth, all of his fruitive activities, his lifespan, his mind, and his words are all actually perfect." So Narada Muni begins by glorifying service of the Supreme Lord, which means ultimately bhakti. And here the Lord is called Hari, Ishvara, and Vishvatma. Hari, of course, means one who attracts the mind or steals the heart. Ishvara means the supreme controller, and Vishvatma means the soul of the universe. So one should serve this Supreme Lord. By this, all activities, lifespan, mind, and words, and birth become successful. So the conclusion is that all aspects of life become perfect by the performance of bhakti. It does not mention other processes. It simply mentions service to the Supreme Lord. So this means by itself, bhakti is independent, does not require support of other yogas, and at the same time, it gives perfection to everything. That means the other processes will give you some partial perfection, but nothing complete. So everything becomes perfect by the performance of bhakti. Jnana can give liberation, or karma can give material comforts, a long lifespan, etc. But they can't give you everything, any of these processes. So bhakti can do all of this. However, the devotee does not want the material things that may be accrued by bhakti. Life becomes successful, activities become successful, lifespan becomes successful, birth becomes successful, mind and body become successful when they are engaged in the service of the Lord. So what this means is they don't act as impediments for the highest goal, but rather they help in giving perfection. So the very definition of sadhana bhakti is that one engages the senses in pleasing the Supreme Lord. So anukulina Krishna anusilanam, but through the senses, the mind, etc. So engage the senses and the mind and the words, and this increases the bhakti within the jiva. So the material assets that we have as a human being are not necessarily a cause of bondage. They're also secondary causes of bhakti when we engage them in the service of the Lord. So they become perfect when the senses are engaged in pleasing the Supreme Lord. If we don't do that, then they become causes of bondage, so they're not perfect because they cause problems for us. But when they're engaged in the service of the Lord, then the effect is only positive. They help the growth of or the manifestation of bhakti and jiva. So, if the jiva attains bhakti and through bhakti attains prema, this is considered to be the highest goal. And this, of course, is stated directly in the Bhagavatam. The sages ask the question, oh, what is the highest goal for human beings? The answer given is that prema is the goal. And what is the sum and substance of scripture to attain that goal? And the answer is bhakti. That means sadhana bhakti, which means engaging the senses and the mind, etc. So that is the essence of the Bhagavatam, to enunciate these principles of goal, and means to get to the goal. So the highest goal is prema, and the means to get it is sadhana bhakti. So if one performs that activity of bhakti to attain prema, then one has fulfilled the meaning of the Vedas, the instructions of the Vedas. And though the Vedas tell us other processes like Sankhya, Karma, Jnana, Yoga, etc., we learn from the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, and Krishna says, I'm not interested in these things. I'm not attracted to these things. These things do not attract me, but I'm attracted to bhakti. So in this way, bhakti stands alone as the process for the jivas and Kali Yuga to execute. But that is the final conclusion of scripture, and that is, of course, enunciated in Bhagavad Gita, and the same truth is enunciated in the Bhagavatam. So Narada Muni begins by giving this very essential teaching that the sum and substance of everything is simply to serve the Supreme Lord, perform bhakti. What does that service consist of? Using the words, mind, etc. So we use the words in the service of the Lord by glorifying the Lord. That is kirtan. How do we use the mind in the service of the Lord? By thinking of the Supreme Lord. So this becomes jhana, or meditation. And similarly, we can use all the other senses in the service of the Supreme Lord. So in this way, life becomes successful when the life is dedicated to serving the Supreme Lord, because we can use this material body to develop our relationship with the Supreme Lord. So this is success. And in fact, all the activities we do with all the senses, if they're dedicated to the Lord, will simply give good results, no negative results. So how is the birth successful? One takes birth as human being, and then we perform these activities. If we do other activities as a human being, what happens is we increase our karma. We enjoy the karmas or suffer the karmas from previous activities, and we create new karmas for the future. That's all we do. So this is not really successful. It's really more bondage. So birth becomes successful because through the process of bhakti, we end the process of birth and death in the material world.
And instead, we get a spiritual body in the spiritual world, which is eternal. So that is the success of Jiva being born in the material world. He no longer has to go through the cycle of birth and death anymore. So in this way, whether one has a large or long lifespan or a short lifespan, in any case, if one takes to the process of bhakti, this is the success of life. Because even if we don't get perfection in this lifetime, in future lifetimes, we can continue the process. Nothing is ever lost. The assets of bhakti are not destroyed under normal circumstances. So, therefore the Narayana here is just glorifying this process of bhakti as the supreme process, independent of other processes. Well, we are ignorant of our relationship. Jivas of ignorance do not recognize any relationship with the Supreme Lord at all, either theoretical or factual or in terms of a loving relationship, even a neutral relationship. They don't even accept the existence of God, but to speak of a positive relationship with God. So this is due to the ignorance of the jiva. So there are processes of knowledge, or jnana, to enlighten the jiva from scriptures. But more than that, after the knowledge that we're not the body or soul or part of the Lord, is to actually establish that relationship through the process of bhakti. So that is accomplished by this service, by engaging the senses. Yeah, the basic relationship is there, but if you want a higher relationship, that has to be cultivated. We can't just uncover it. In other words, a jnani can also uncover his atma, but he doesn't necessarily recognize the Lord by that. So, therefore we have to do some positive cultivation in order to establish the relationship properly.
You think that this body and senses are helpful for us to make our life successful. But sometimes we see our acharyas are praying that they want to take birth again and again in this material world to do more and more service to God. At the same time, in some purpose, Prabhupada is also writing this, when you have this material body as an impediment, so we should give that up and go back and back to God. So how we can understand these two things?
Well, the acharyas write in a way to express their humility. That they're so fallen that they'll never get out of this material body. But what they do pray for is if they are in the material body, that they have service to the Lord and devotees. That is more important than trying to go to the spiritual world or whatever. So it's also an expression of pure bhakti because the devotee does not demand salokya, sarsi, samipya, etc. So whether he's in the material or spiritual world, he serves the Lord. On the other hand, the Supreme Lord is merciful to all the jivas, so material bodies are definitely an impediment to bhakti itself. Even if one has bhakti in the material world, still it's an impediment because one is subject to continued birth and death, etc. So therefore the Lord arranges for spiritual body and spiritual world for those jivas ultimately. Generally, it's a continuation.
Some sort of servitude and a sense of being a servant. But at the same time, he also says that there are five or seven in whatever philosophy and slash four in Madhuri. So how do we understand this servitude part?
Well, in one sense, everyone by constitution is a servant of the Lord, because we are all jivas, and the Lord is Ishvara in that sense. Ultimately, we can't do anything about that. So we are not independent, we are always dependent no matter what relationship we have. Well, it's no longer a sadhana. It's just spontaneous. So they're always chanting and hearing and remembering and all these things. But it is spontaneous role. So they don't have to chant 64 rounds or whatever. It's not a sadhana anymore.
Or if someone in this material world has that feeling, if we start chanting, it doesn't
come. Well, that's the prema in the material world. They also don't have any rules and regulations. Bhava and prema. That's spontaneous.
This sense of servitude, and we say dasya, they are
different.
The previous question I had regarding being servant of the servant and being part of the so we are by constitution, we are servant.
Yeah, that's different from the dasya rasa, which is a specific relationship with the Lord. Don't worry about it. But I mean, if we don't know about Krishna at all, then we may think of something the opposite, and that's also not very good. So all we do is think of Krishna and think of blackness or darkness or ignorance, and that's also not so good either. So we should learn something about Krishna. So when we hear the word Krishna, we think of Krishna rather than a demon or something. Well, we have pictures of deities. The deities are there so that we can think of Krishna. So if we chant and look at the deity, then we think of Krishna.
But won't it disturb the mind? And again, Krishna's name and think of the picture of Krishna. You miss one syllable. Other than I go in front of the deity and just directly see the deity and keep making it. Doing both activities at the same time in the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Concentrated.
Depends on the person. But, of course, the ultimate goal is when you chant the name Krishna, then you realize Krishna. So if you're going to deny that and say, I'm not, never going to realize Krishna, I'm just going to hear the name, that's also artificial. So through the process of chanting, one realizes the form of Krishna, the qualities of Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna. So if we deny that, then, of course, we won't progress either.
Thank you.